following is a presentation of Real Racing USA. It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
And welcome to Straight Lining with Stevie. It is time to go drag racing, Straight Lining with Stevie, every Wednesday night here on Real Racing USA. Stevie.
Hey, Jack.
We got it lined up tonight, don't we?
Oh, I'll tell you what, we're going to stretch that quarter mile out to a full mile tonight, as I've got Joe Timney, the president of the East Coast Timing Association, where they run land speed racing right here in the Carolinas. Not too many people are aware of this, I don't believe, but it's a pretty cool deal. So, Joe, how are we doing this evening, sir?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on, Stevie.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, I know I'm excited to see something like this here, and I'm a novice to this. I've been around motorsports 46 years, but I've never been to see land speed racing. I've got to ask you, how did you ever get involved in land speed racing?
Well, Stevie, I'm a drag racer at heart and did it for well over 35 years and always wanted to go to Bonneville. And one day I heard about the East Coast Timing Association and what was going on down in Maxton, North Carolina. And so I took a weekend trip and went down and checked it out. And I was so impressed I came home and sold my rear engine dragster and went land speed racing. And that was about 12 years ago. The ECTA was formed in 94 by two Bonneville racers, Tom Sarda and John Beckett. They were rained out in 92 and 93, I believe it was. Bonneville was rained out, and they were trying to find some place that they could run on the East Coast. And originally, they found the track in Moultrie, Georgia, and they had two meets in 1995. And it was an active airport, so they had a little trouble with the FAA and shutting it down for the weekend to run. And they subsequently, Tom found a Maxton airport, and Maxton was a World War II glider training base, and the concrete was laid in some record amount of time in 42. And it had fell upon disrepair. Now, two of the legs are still used as an airport, but where we race on had not been used since 44 or 45. So it was in pretty disrepair. And a bunch of guys got together and a bunch of volunteers and put the track together and started running. Had a couple races in 96, and we're up to five races a year now.
Wow, it sounds like it's a pretty neat deal. Just how long is this track?
It's 1.9 miles, and we run one vehicle at a time, and we time you at the end of 1 mile, and we have a 132-foot trap, electric eyes, and print out, and pretty much just like drag racing is done. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of volunteers. I think the thing that got me the most is I started drag racing in the mid-60s, and it one weekend there took me right back to the way it was in 1965 when the first time I went to the drag race. Bunch of good people. People will stop. You break something, they'll offer you their parts. They'll help you. The camaraderie is just unbelievable. We're pretty much a volunteer organization. Nobody's paid. Everybody just volunteers to put it from the people that collect the $5 admission for the weekend at the gate to the timing, shutdown people, starting line people, people that run the registration trailer. It's all
I heard
volunteer.
You say, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I heard you say $5 at the gate, that's all you charge?
We charge $5, put an armband on you, it's good for Friday or Saturday and Sunday.
A two-day event, so that's $2.50 a day.
Yes, sir.
Holy smoke.
It's the best bargain in motorsports, buddy.
I'm telling you what, really.
We've had people come in and had so much fun, they just came to watch. and we allow street vehicles up to 135 miles an hour with your basic safety equipment and a good helmet. We had a family come one time, mother, father, son, and daughter, watched for a little bit, came over and said, how could we do this? They said, well, we have to be a member, and it's $50 a year to be a member. So the whole family signed up, and they took their car that they brought to the races. We went through tech inspection. It passed. They borrowed a helmet, and they all took turns making passes.
So that's all it really takes now to get involved in this now. Of course, we're talking street car here.
Yeah.
The street class where you've limited them. But basically, what does it take for someone to get involved, say, to go 150 or 175? Do you have to be licensed, or is there a special thing to get through the vehicle?
Your a valid driver's license will get you up to 125 miles an hour, and then we take you up in speed 25 miles an hour at a time. To go from 125 street class to 150, it requires a four-point roll bar and more safety equipment. From 150 to 175, it's a six-point bar, real racing seat, real seat belts, fire suit. And then at 175, it goes to full cage, fire system, parachute, and it progresses up.
What about tires and stuff on that now? I'm sure it takes a special tire.
A good Z-rated tire will take you clear to 200 miles an hour.
Really?
Wow. And the drag radials have held up just fine. We can't use racing slicks. They won't hold up for the whole mile. But the street radials are awesome tires. We just had a Viper with twin turbos set the car track record at 232 with Z-rated street radials on it. They were
on our Viper.
It wasn't the street radials. He had street radials, the drag radials on there. Yeah, our motorcycle record is a little bit over 260 miles an hour, and that was done. These shirts riding a Hayabusa Suzuki with a turbocharger street bike. Rich Yancey owns the bike. Very, very quick piece, but tagged for the street.
Well, now, you know, we talked about the super fast classes, but to my understanding, there's pretty well a class for everybody. There's a lot of classes, aren't there? Tell me a little bit about just what type of classes you've got as nostalgia and, you know, and street classes. What is it all in common?
In land speed racing, it's broken down to, you know, your production classes. We have a lot of truck classes. We have Roadster, the vintage classes, vintage Roadster and vintage coupe. They have a Lakester class, which is essentially like a rear engine dragster, or the old belly tank that really symbolizes land speed racing. And of course, streamliners, which are fully enclosed bullets. And we're open to everything at Paxton.
So a lot of the guys with the Harleys, they could come right in with their Harleys and basically jump out there and go for it.
Absolutely. It's World War II track. It's a little rough. If any of the people have ever raced at the old Richmond drag strip, it's just like that was, a little rough down and shut down. But anybody with a little bit of suspension would be a lot happier.
So a fully suspension car, pretty well, you have good control.
Absolutely. You know, I believe it was 99 or 2000, we had a couple guys take an old drag Sportster, put it together, and won the championship that year. We also have points when you come down and race. And we have a points championship, and we will award for the first 10 places in points in cars and the first 10 places in points for motorcycles also.
Curiosity, on this point system you talk about, can anybody, even the smaller classes, be in contention to win a points championship?
It's funny you should say that. The last 4 or 5 years, the points championship has been won by people with very small CC motorcycles and very small car engines. There's a lot of focus on going really fast, and people have found that getting down into the lower classes, that a lot of the records were very soft or non-existent, And they were able to amass points by building a really good bike or a really good car with a small engine and made more points than the big guys and won the championship.
It sounds really cool. You know, I've talked with a lot of guys. You know, I'm doing announcing with the All Harley guys, and several also talked about it. And the same with IHRA, the guys have talked about it. You know, they would like to come over and just give it a try one time. So I thought, well, you know, I'm going to call you up, see if I can't get you on the air and talk, and let the guys kind of get an idea of what it all involves. And it sounds like if you've got basically, if you're driving a car, and it's a legal IHRA stocker or a super stock car, you can pretty well say that this car, with the exception maybe of the rear of the tires, is going to have to be changed, but it would probably fit right into 150, 175 mile an hour class because the cage and everything is in these vehicles and so on. So a lot of guys with stockers and super stocks, and some of the higher dollar bracket cars, jump right in and go for it.
Absolutely could, and we see a lot of people move over into that. We've had a competitor. The name slips my mind, but the guy had raced in the 50s and 60s with a 56 and 57 Chevy super stock car, and he just brought it down and switched over tires and just had a ball, and he would bring both of them and run them both all weekend.
Hey Joe, what is that? What is that yellow car on the photo gallery with the, like, it has big, it's two, number 206, big yellow, looks like an old-time roadster of some kind?
That's a rabbit from he's from North Georgia Fabrication. He's one of our big competitors, and he's got one of those new Ford supercharged motors from the Mustangs, I guess that model Ford motor in it. He runs 190s, pretty consistent.
Wow, that's really cool. You know, when you talked about Mustangs, I'm thinking about how many Mustangs on the street, you know, are out there right now with 302s and 351s, and these guys have no idea, but it's minor changes, and they could come up there and play all weekend long and have a blast and legally get out there and turn them loose.
Oh, absolutely. With a full roll cage and a parachute in them, one of those little 302 Mustangs, probably 150 horse nitrous hit, is a 200 mile an hour player.
Holy smokes.
You know, speaking of 200 miles an hour, in land speed racing, 200 miles an hour is the holy grail. That's the number. And everybody wants to set a record over 200 and get in the 200 mile an hour club. And we have a 200 mile an hour club, which we award you a real nice a certificate and a hat and a T-shirt, and you can be a member if you set a record over 200 miles an hour. And it's a pretty we've patterned our organization after the Southern California Timing Association that races at the Bonneville Salt Flats, and you know, Bonneville is really the holy grail, and the whole reason of putting Maxton together was for Bonneville racers to test. Well, that's still our number one reason for existing. But what's happened is Maxton has grown an entity all its own. And it's a pretty neat deal, great bunch of people. And then, of course, come August, we all pack up and we travel out to the Salt Flats and run out there.
Well, let me ask you this now. I know the guys are into this thing, but how about the ladies? Have they got out there and mixed it up a little bit?
Absolutely. We've had three champs, points champs, that were women. We have quite a few regular competitors that are female in cars and in motorcycles. We just had two women battling it out to be the fastest woman in the world.
Really?
On a motorcycle, and we had a meet back in the spring where the two of them were battling back and forth, and each running, and one of them went like 2:16. I think the other one ended up going 2:18 that weekend.
Was one of those Trillia Moore?
Absolutely, yes. She ended up winning the battle. Deb Dross had a high-speed mishap at the end of the track and went down and broke her collarbone after running. I think she went 214 or 216 and had a little issue at the very end.
Wow.
Trillium, I believe, has gone 222 without a fairing, which is really an unbelievable feat. You think it's hard enough to hang on with a fairing, let alone not having anything buffeting, you know, breaking the air for you.
Yeah, there's all that information's on your website. It's pretty cool. You got a ton of information on the website for your deal, man. It's cool.
Well, you know, I know that you have a young lady that that you're currently dating, and you got her involved in it too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. The weekend that I actually bought the East Coast Timing Association organization with my partner Keith Turk, I had brought my girlfriend Donna Palla down to the track, and she got involved with registration with Keith's wife Tanya, and one thing has led to another, and we're been putting Donna in different vehicles at Maxton, and she's been over 160 miles an hour, and this summer we took her to the Salt Flats and put her in a roadster, and she made three passes out there getting used to it. And, we've joined forces, and we're actually building a 400-mile-an-hour streamliner to run on the Salt Flats, and this Saturday I'm going to marry her.
Wow.
How about that?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What a
cool
woman. Think about it. This gal can not only race, you know, but the perfect package, man. You know, what can I say?
We both own Harleys. We ride together. We race together. And it's perfect.
Well, you know, you mentioned about Harleys. Did you have some involvement with Nitro Harleys and stuff for a while?
I've built a bike or two. I'm a fabricator. I build race cars and motorcycles, and one of the guys that competes with us at Maxton, I did a belly tank for him, and before that he had ran a Top Fuel Harley, Steve DiMartino, and he was pretty active on the Harley circuit, and Elmer Trett built all his motors, and when Elmer passed, Steve didn't trust anybody else building engines and parked the motorcycle and got involved with a belly tank. And then in the past, I built a funny bike for one of the active riders today, Bob Malloy.
We had Bob Malloy on the show.
Sure did.
Right.
Sure did.
Yeah. Awesome rider. Just an awesome rider. My best friend and I, Ted Thomas, built a funny bike for Bob back. Wow. It was in the 90s. Sometimes they all blend over the years. But he's a heck of a rider.
Well, I'll tell you what, it has really been a pleasure talking with you. And I will say this, that I think you have a little diamond in the rough that really a lot of people don't know about yet. But I know there's a lot of Harley guys listening tonight, as long with guys with IHRA. And don't be surprised when you have your first meet. You don't see some of those IHRA stickers on the window of some of those cars and some Harley emblems on the rides as well. And when is your first meet, so the guys do know?
Our first meet is going to be the Hot Rod Magazine Streetcar Shootout, and that is going to be held April 5th and 6th. And what that is Hot Rod Magazine comes out, and in the street class we have two categories. One's called Real Street, and the other is Super Street. And the top speed person in each one of those classes wins a Hot Rod Magazine jacket that says Hot Rod Magazine Top Speed Shootout on the back, and they'll be featured in Hot Rod Magazine. And this will be our fourth annual event, and it brings out some really badass street cars. You can go to our site, find out all about it, and read previous articles about the event, and get all the information you need to get through tech and be legal and come out and have a good time with us.
Well, listen, if some guys want to come up there to watch, surely it's going to cost more than $5 for a race like that.
No, absolutely not.
No,
in fact,
kidding.
if they show up Friday and help us prep the track, hell, I'm going to put an armband on them and let them in for free.
Oh, my gosh.
We're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for help, one end or the other.
I think that is so cool. That is so cool. Wow. $5 for the weekend.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. And if you come help him set it up, and you know the racers love doing that stuff.
You're right there.
Absolutely.
Joe, you're right there near the South Carolina-North Carolina border?
Yes. We're about an hour east of Rockingham.
Cool.
Or about 45 minutes west of Lumberton on right off of 74. And Lumberton's right at I-95 and 74.
We'll put a link on Real Racing USA for your website, because it's got a ton of information, pictures, some driver profiles, got all the information. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we'd love to have people come on out and give us, you know, check the place out. I think you'll really enjoy it. We have a food vendor there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It'll take you back to early drag racing days, that's for sure. That's nothing fancy, but I know you'll have a good time if you come out.
I'll tell you, Joe, it has truly been a pleasure talking with you, and don't be surprised if you don't see us up there. I don't think I can make the first one, but that second one's looking pretty good.
Well, we'll slap a press pass on you, and you come on up and play in the tower.
Now you've hit my sweet spot.
I knew I could get to you.
Well, Joe, once again, thank you for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Timley, the president of the East Coast Timing Association, and for all of you that didn't know, it's right here in the Carolinas, and $5 for the weekend. I'm telling you, I have not heard those prices, and it's probably been 30 years.
Yeah, you can't beat that, man. Can't beat that. Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay.
Well, Stevie, $5, man.
It's for 2 days, not one.
Yeah, you can't beat that. I mean,
you can only go one day. You go up there, you hand him $5. Can I get some change back?
Yeah.
I tell you, just keep the $5.
All right, at this, we're going to take a break, Stevie, and we're going to come back with some IHRA action, eh?
Absolutely. We're going to Jeff Dobbins, and we're going to find out what it's like to be on your roof burning at 220 mile an hour.
We'll be right back.
Just a normal day.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
Yeah, Joe, can you go ahead and turn up your phone? All right. Okay.
Presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Your minimal experience flying a plane will never land you at a reputable airline. Luckily, you don't work for one.
Look at me, I'm flying.
Sure, we're concerned for our lives. Just not as concerned as saving $9 on a round trip to Fort Myers.
Oh!
The most direct route to Houston? Through Fort Lauderdale, with layovers in Detroit, Vancouver, and Kalamazoo.
I can't feel my legs.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh skipper of the skies. You put the fly in fly by night operation.
Mr. Discount Airline Pilot Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Doug Rose, owner of the Green Mamba Jet Dragster. You're listening to Real Racing USA on Short Track America. Be there.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
And we are back live, Straight Line with Stevie on Wednesday night, December the 12th, I do believe. And Stevie, we're ready to go out to the IHRA racing deal, man.
Oh, absolutely, Jack. I've got Jeff Dobbins on the phone here, a young man out of Wilmington, North Carolina. And Jeff and I, while we were out to commercial, we were talking about, he was thinking about, you know, how easy it'd be to modify his Mountain Motor Pro Stock, 820 cubic inches, and put some radials on it and go after a land speed record. I can't imagine how fast it'd go. Holy smokes. Well, Jeff, how you doing, guy? Let's get back to IHRA drag racing here.
That's good. Doing great. Appreciate you having me on, Steve.
Oh, absolutely. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Just wanted to kind of touch base, and, you know, you had an up-and-down season. How about give us a little rundown of just what all happened to you this year?
Well, we started the season off, thought we were going to be pretty good, and as pro stock goes, we found out we weren't. We, you know, just battled several problems on the car. Throughout the first part of the season, end of D&Q and Rockingham and Tulsa, had a few gremlins in the car. So we skipped a couple races in the middle of the season, went testing, got it figured out, and we came out blazing there at the end.
Well, let me ask you this before we go too far into this. My fault for not bringing it up first. Can you give a basic description of just what is an IHRA Mountain Motor Pro Stock?
Well, it's probably the true sense of evil itself. I would say it's probably one of the most difficult cars that you can drive, basically because you know, you have to manually shift a five-speed transmission, and we don't have any wing on the back of our car. We don't have any downforce, so it's quite a handful down there at 200 miles an hour.
So roughly what kind of times do they turn? I know you said 200 mile an hour, but I believe you guys go up past that quite a bit.
Yeah, I think the current world record right now, ET-wise, is a 628 at 223 and some change. Myself have been 221 at Rockingham in the fall.
Now, there's no nitrous oxide or any power adders. This is on gasoline, am I correct, in carburetors?
This is nothing but naturally aspirated carbureted engines. 825 cubic inches at our maximum.
Holy smokes. So in other words, your pistons look more like trash cans flipped upside down.
That's for sure.
Good Lord. How much power does it take just to get one of those things to go up and down in the cylinder bore?
I don't know. It's got to be a lot.
About how much power do these motors develop?
I think a good average for most people right now is running about 1,850 horsepower.
Wow, so you're slowly approaching that 2,000 horsepower on gasoline and carburetors, no power additives.
None. It's hard to believe. We really would like to see them give us fuel injection, but they, Mike Becker, he won't quite have that yet.
Curiosity now, when you talk about fuel injection, how do you think that would affect these motors?
Well, it would definitely make them run a lot more efficiently, which in turn would definitely result in some a lot quicker and faster cars. The learning curve, however, I'm sure would be tremendous because nobody really has any experience in it right now.
Well, you know, you talked about downforce. Explain to me just what is the problem as far as why is there no downforce on these vehicles?
Well, anytime that you introduce downforce, you slow the car down. So we want absolutely no drag. We try to get these cars to roll and just go through the air as smoothly as possible. And you can't even put one notch of wing in one. It's liable to slow the car down
one, two, maybe 3 miles an hour. And in pro stock, you're finished if you give up that kind of miles an hour.
You know, I know you guys run like a 16-car field, you qualify. Usually when you talk about it, there's really not much difference. How much difference is there from the guy who's like the fastest or number one qualifier to the guy who's number 16? How much time difference is there between these 16 cars?
I'd say it runs on an average somewhere between 5 and maybe 8 hundredths of a second.
So they say 8 hundredths of a second to blink your eye.
Real.
That
well, that's 16 cars.
16 cars are within a blink of an eye of each other in competition.
It's a really competitive class.
Well, you talked about no downforce. I understand you had some problems on the top end because of no downforce. I'm assuming downforce was the problem. When you had a crosswind catch up with you at one of the races. Tell us about that race.
2005, the opening season in San Antonio. I was with a brand new team. We went out and tested. Matter of fact, I think I spoke with you and Val Dosta. We ran as fast as anybody in testing. So we were really excited about getting the season started. We were first pair down the racetrack because I didn't race the previous year. Made our run. We ended up cracking both ends of the track record on the run. And when I put the parachutes out, there was like a 40-mile-an-hour crosswind, and it turned the car at a 90-degree angle at about 216 miles an hour.
Oh,
and there was just no recovering it.
I almost don't want to ask, what was the next thing you thought when that thing turned sideways at over 200 miles per hour? What went through your mind?
It just kind of slowed down. I knew it was going to turn over. I just kind of braced and prepared myself. And I just watched it each time it rolled over and over, and I felt it hit the wall a couple times. And finally it come to rest upside down with the driver's door against the guardrail, and it was on fire.
On fire.
Craig Clark to the rescue.
Yes, you're right. Craig Clark was to the rescue on that one. Yeah. Well, did you wait on Craig Clark to get there? What did you do?
I sit there about 30 seconds, or it seemed like 10 minutes. When the windshield started melting in, I knew I had to get out. I knew the safety for Safari was on the way, but I just couldn't wait. So I ended up cutting the belts loose, kicking the passenger door off, and getting away from that thing as quick as I could.
Holy smokes. Well, you know, you're strapped in there pretty tight. Is it, you're up on your, you got to visualize you're on your roof, you're upside down. How easy was it just to get out of the shoulder belt and lap belt and everything and harness?
Well, the biggest thing when you're hanging upside down, you know you're going to take a little tumble into the roof, and then, of course, all that's on fire. So you got to decide that, well, I got to go into the fire before I can get out. Luckily, being a smaller guy, I was able to shuffle around in there pretty quick and get out. Which I got out with not a scratch on.
But the car was total, though.
The car was a total loss.
Brand new car, just set a track record, ET and mile per hour, and you didn't even make it to the shutdown before the wind got you. Wow. But if I recall correctly, that was a really windy weekend in Texas. Texas always seems to have a lot of wind down there in San Antonio, and that was one of those deals that everything just went south on us that weekend, no matter what seemed to happen. We've had experiences before with drag chutes blowing over into the other guy's wheels and stuff, too. So not much you can do about something like that. But fortunately, we got you out all right. And then you're back on your game again for 2007. But you had some ups and downs there as well, am I correct?
That's correct. We, like I said earlier, struggled a little bit in the beginning, but we stayed home, did a little testing. Just got our program right, and when we came out in the fall, we ended up doing pretty good. We won two out of the last three.
And shined at Rockingham in front of all your fans and in front of your family and everything. That had to make you feel good.
That really did. That's a really hard one to win right here at home. Rockingham has got to be one of the biggest races on the tour. To be able to do it at home in front of family and friends was something we worked a long time to do.
Let me ask you this now. How are we looking for 2008? What can we expect out of Jeff Dobbins?
Right now, it's really unclear. We're in the process of trying to find some, you know, financial help to continue with it. Pro Stock is such an expensive class to run. We've got a couple small things secured right now, but we need some more funding to be able to do it. We won't know until maybe another month or so if we'll be able to continue.
Wow. You know, that's really something that I see quite frequently is guys at your skill level that are capable of setting national records. It's just a matter of having the funds to allow you to do what you do. And it's tough out there. It's a tough world. And I know Jack can tell you for the guys that turn left, they're facing the same problem. And how do you think like the cost of fuel is going to affect you as far as 2008? That could increase your expenses a lot, or
yeah, it definitely did. I've seen on the way home today, diesel fuel here is $3.40 a gallon.
Wow!
You figure it's probably it's probably 45,000-50,000 for the year just in diesel fuel.
Where are you at, Jeff?
Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
In fact, we talked about Jeff coming down, maybe doing some of that land speed racing. So it's only a few miles away.
Yeah, that's close to home. I'd like to try that out.
I'm serious. I think that would be cool. That would really be cool.
Get us maybe a couple more gear ratios from Lenco and make that thing a 6 or 7, 8 speed. We might can do it.
Well, you can finally go in there and change the rear end gears, and Mike Baker couldn't stop you, huh?
That's right. Keep the police off of us.
That's right. The policeman, Mike Baker, the head of our tech department with IHRA. He's a tough customer. No fooling around. The rules are the rules. There's no gray area. He's tough.
Yes, he is, but he is definitely fair. So.
Yes, it's like Scotty Cannon said, you guys are the gangsters, and he's the sheriff.
That's right. We see what we can get away with.
That's right.
You notice, Jack, all the racers say the same thing. They try to get away with everything they possibly can. It's up to Mike Baker to catch them.
At least the honest ones say that.
Yeah, well, the rest of them do, too. You know that.
Exactly.
It's
and
not
the first
called.
One said he doesn't, that's the first one I'd have torn down.
I guess as the round track guys would say, it's not really getting caught cheating. It's getting caught wrong. So
yeah, there you go.
Well, Jeff, I sure hope things work out well for you. I really do. Just going to be hard to say. Hopefully you'll find some sponsorship. It's always a joy to watch your race. You're a first-class driver, and living proof of the numbers are there. And I hope that things do work out for you for 2008. And I really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. You're always a pleasure to talk with. So give my best to the family, and please keep me in touch with what's going down. If something happens exciting,
let us know.
Major sponsor, give us a call. We'll be glad to let the whole world know on Real Racing USA.
I certainly will, Steve, and I really appreciate you guys having me on tonight.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, Stevie. That's pretty cool, man. And, you know, the thing is that it always seems to pop up at this time of the year. You know, they always seem to, most of the guys find a way to get her done, though, you know, when it comes around to March, April, May, there somehow or another, most of the guys seem to make it back to the track. But the sponsorship dollars are never getting, I mean, they're never easy to get, that's for sure.
We know John Force back in the old days, before he was with Castrol and all these things, when he was racing his funny car on a budget out of his own pocket, basically he would race it until he just ran out of money. And so he would park it. And you know how they would always send these Visa and MasterCards out, $5,000, you know, a limit on there. You don't have to sign nothing. You sign the back of the car.
Sure.
And credit. And John said he used to get these cards in the mail. He'd sign them, fill it out, send it in. He'd call up his crew and say, boys, we're going drag racing.
There you go. So we're going to come back here in a few minutes with Andy Simon from the All Harley Drag Racing deal.
This is the man with the golden wrench. I'll tell you what, the best of the best.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting, because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
We are back, Straight Line with Stevie, and we'll get right to it here. I guess we have we're hooked up with Andy Simon from the All Harley Drag Racing Association. Stevie?
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what, this is the man, the Mac Tools, Pro Wrench of the Year for the All Harley Drag Racing Association. The man with the golden wrench. There's absolutely nobody better turning wrenches, and I'll tell you what, I might add, not a bad rider either. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Steve?
Doing fine this evening. You know, I mentioned about your award you received, right? You know, from the All Harley Drag Racing Association with the Pro Wrench of the Year Award from Mac Tools. That's a great honor, you know. But that's just one of many that you've held over the years. Tell us a little bit about the history of Andy Simon. Where's your roots from, and a little basic history.
Well, I basically started out drag racing in 1973, racing cars. I won a state championship at the Atco Dragway racing the 69 Camaro, 1973. And then I went on to racing motocross and won several championships doing that. And then my son became old enough to race go-karts, and I raced go-karts professionally, won championships in that. And then I got into VW sprint cars and won a championship in that. And then got into the Harley drag racing in 92. And won Pro Gas Championship in ECRA 2 years in a row. Rookie of the Year, Best Appearing Crew. And then I took some time off from my business and decided to build a Street Pro, which I made and built and designed my own cylinder head. And then I ran that, and I won the championship last year. I set all the national records in 850 with an O at 158 miles an hour. And by the way, that's no wheelie bar, a street tire. In 07, we ran a lot of races. We finished runner-up due to the fact that we missed four or five races. We won Pro Wrench of the Year from Mac Tools, which was great. Best Appearing Crew again. So it's great, Steve, and we're looking forward to the 08 season.
I've got to ask you one thing now. You mentioned the fact, and I could tell you're proud of it, rightfully so. You went 850 on a motorcycle, no wheelie bar. How on God's green earth do you keep that thing from flipping over without a wheelie bar on it?
Steve, it's a lot of clutch management, a little bit of riding skill, and getting the weight in the right places on a motorcycle is real critical. But it's tough. I mean, when that rear, some of the pictures, if you notice, over the course of the year, the rear wheel comes off the ground sometimes. The bike literally leaves the track.
Well, you know, I think it was Thunder Press showed a picture of your bike. Completely airborne.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
You were literally flying.
Yes. What happens, the bicycle, for the people that don't understand drag racing altogether, you have to realize you're taking 715 pounds at a standstill, and you're accelerating the motorcycle from a dead stop in the quarter mile. Well, the quarter mile is in segments, and the first 60 foot, you're going 1.3 seconds in 60 foot. So you got to realize that you're taking 715 pounds and accelerating 1.3 seconds. You're going 60 foot. So it's just about 60 miles an hour in 1.3 seconds. So it's an adrenaline rush.
Oh, it's got to be.
Yes.
Curiosity, you're accelerating. You got this G-force pushing on you. How do you shift this thing now? Is there any kind of problem? Because, you know, you're on this bike, and I can visualize the wheel lifting, pushing you back. You're hanging on with nothing but these handlebars. You've got to shift. How does that work now?
Steve, it's basically instinct. If you had to, I think if you had to really think about it, you probably couldn't do it. It's just a natural instinct that we are allowed air shifters. So there's a button on the handlebar that you push when the light comes on. There's a shift light. But with the no bar bike, which I race, you have to be on your toes. As that bike goes to accelerate and starts to wheel stand, you have to, what's called short shift it, to try to control it. So it's all by instinct and rider skill and years of experience.
I'm, you know, a lot of guys I see go up to the track and they have this certain spot they put their bike in where they want to get max traction, or I mean, in some cases they don't want quite as much. Andy, is there a secret? Well, I'm sure there is to some degree, but how do you approach a drag strip now? Do you look for a certain groove or a certain spot because of the way you launch your bike? Is there something that the guys out there you know, would like to hear as far as how you get your bike to launch like you do?
Yes, there is, Steve. I help out a lot of guys over the course of the year in different classes, the pro classes, sportsman classes. You have to look at the track, basically where the rear wheel sits when you're sitting there before even when you pre-stage and stage. And then when you go to accelerate, that you got to realize you can only put so much horsepower to the rear wheel. So when the bike gets out probably about 5 or 6 feet, you have to also look at the track there and then the next 15 to 20 feet where you're really accelerating hard. So the key is to look at the track and to make sure there's a lot of good rubber on the track. There's no shiny spots, and you've some people use the expression a bald spot, and what that means is there's no rubber there, and you'll see the concrete on the track. So, yeah, it's very important to look at the track to find a nice black, dark black, sticky patch, basically.
You know, in my own experience, I've seen a lot of situations to where the crew chiefs will look up in the sky and they'll watch the clouds. And they'll watch for sun and they'll watch for the clouds. And that may make a difference, it seems like, as to where they're going to put their rider. Just what effect does that sun have on the dragster? And what do you look for when the sun's out and it's hot versus a day that is cloudy and overcast?
Well, Steve, if you get a day like some of the tracks we go to, when it gets the track temperatures up over 110 degrees, you have to be careful because sometimes the oil comes out of the rubber, and if there's a lot of rubber on the track, the oil will actually come out of it, and it can get slippery. So we always look at, and then if it's a cold day, you're always trying to find that the sun's shining on the right lane or left lane, and if the sun sets behind the grandstands and the left lane gets shadow first, less sun, so we favor the right lane. So everybody's trying to get a little advantage.
Hey, Andy, there's a picture on the All Harley Drag Racing site. Your bike's red?
Yes.
It don't look like that rear wheel's on the ground to me.
No, that rear wheel comes off the ground once in a while, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it's
they stand it straight up, man.
Yeah, when they say he literally flies, he's serious, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy, you know. I have three grandkids and my four kids, and my daughter was at Cecil County in this year, and she just absolutely, she was surprised. She was shocked. She couldn't believe how fast the bike goes, and the wheel stands halfway down the track sometimes. But it's a handful.
Well, let me ask you this: I know you help a lot of guys out there. About how many bikes do you work on out there or help at a race?
At my shop's called Simon's Competition, and I have approximately 7 motorcycles that race out of my shop. I have several more that I do work for. I also do a lot of work for the NHRA guys that run the Buells. I do crank repairs for those guys. So I help out quite a few guys, Steve, which is, you know, part of the fun, I think.
Well, you know, you have 7 bikes and they all come to the same meet. How do you divide your time up? I mean, you're also a rider.
Yes, Steve. Well, if you noticed, well, you're busy too at the drag races, but I get on my little pit bike and I make the rounds and see who needs help and make sure everybody's on track. And the guys that, if we got to stay late, Steve, you know, we'll work till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning helping these guys get ready for the next day.
And like the ice cream man with the bell ringing, you know, here he comes, let's get him.
Yeah, they flag you down.
Yeah. Well, I can see why you you got the Mag Tools Pro Wrench of the Year award. If you're working on seven bikes, you're riding on one. Do you ride in just one class, or are you a multi-class rider?
No, just one class.
One class?
Yes.
Gee, with all that spare time, I thought for sure there'd be a couple of them.
I'd love to race two classes, but I am looking forward to doing the mile, the salt flat deal and the land speed record in 08. So my time's going to be spread pretty thin next year.
So you tell me about this now. You're going to go out to the salt flats? What's the deal on this?
Hannum's Harley-Davidson is giving us a motorcycle. Boss Noss, they're in Salt Lake City. It's a nitrous company. They're going to donate the nitrous system. We're talking to Jim's, possibly giving us a 120 Jim's motor. And Drag Specialties is talking about coming on board. And we're going to go down to South Carolina and test it at the mile track down there. And then we plan on going to the salt flats. We're going to pick a class, probably a bagger class, with nitrous and see how fast we can go, Steve.
Sounds like another live show, Stevie.
Pardon?
Sounds like another live interview from Salt Flats to me.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. I think we're going to start to see several of our Harley riders appear at the Salt Flats, and also more than several, perhaps, down at in Maxton, North Carolina, with the East Coast Timing Association.
And, Andy, you have a website for your Simons Performance Center that you give out the address for you.
Actually, right now, my son, Andy Jr., has just set up the website today. It's not up and running yet. But
oh, gotcha.
It'll be simonscompetition.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I'll tell you, Andy, one thing I would like you to do, please, over the winter months,
yes.
Keep me advised as how you're progressing along on this. You know, this will be our last show until January. Don't let that stop. Please email me and keep me updated as to how you're doing and where you're at.
Absolutely.
We're definitely going to have you back on again.
Oh, I'd love to come back on. I'd love to come down and see you guys. I can't wait till the season starts to see you in Gainesville. And I know all the guys back here on the East Coast, we're all waiting. We can't wait for Gainesville. I know it's right around the corner.
Yeah, I know. And one of the guys on one of the sites has a countdown.
Yeah, it's great.
All right.
Well, listen, once again, thank you so much, Andy, for coming on the show tonight. It was definitely extremely interesting. I just can't imagine how one man can spread his time out between seven other bikes and still ride at the same meet. And I might say that all these bikes are extremely competitive.
Yes, Steve. Everybody that I try to surround myself with good people. And I have a great family, my wife, my four kids. I have three grandkids, and I try to surround myself with good people. And I try to give back as much as I take out of life.
That is a wonderful philosophy in life.
Yes.
There need to be more people like you. Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Simon. He is the Mack Tools Pro Wrench of the Year for 2007 with the All-Harley Drag Racing Association. He is truly one of the best. Remember, guys, he's got a new site that will be coming on here just in a short. You want to be sure and check it out. Andy, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Stevie.
Now, we had some really great people on tonight. Boy, I'll tell you what. And did you notice every one of them? Well, just we're talking about going to Maxton.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
This is really a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a cool. That's just really neat because you can go out there. It doesn't cost you a whole bunch of money, and you can go see what you got.
I know, $2.50 a day.
Yeah,
nice. I'll think about that one all weekend.
Yeah,
holy smokes, $5 for the weekend.
All right.
You tell me that you were down at the PRI show and a couple of sandwiches cost you $12?
Yeah, three sandwiches, $36. I paid for lunch.
$36.
Yeah, Bill paid for the gas. I paid for lunch. I think I got the bad end of that deal. You know?
Do you realize you could race the entire season with the East Coast Timing Association?
Yeah, $30.
For less than you ate at the PRI show.
There you go. Exactly. All right, Stevie. This is we're going to be gone for a few weeks here.
Yeah.
But take care of some holiday stuff and get ready for 2008. And, man, Gainesville.
Yep, we're going to start it off in Gainesville with the Harley guys, and we're going to Texas with the IHRA guys. So,
and down there in Immokalee, Florida, with some of them guys, too.
I do want to remind all the guys, too, while we have just a minute left here, that, you know, guys, send in your press releases. Send me pictures, because now's the time to get those press releases out. We want to help give you the maximum exposure for every single one of your sponsors. We want to also let the whole world know the star that you are. And to be able to do that, all you got to do, guys, send those press releases in. If you have things you want Stevie to talk about on the races to come, keep me advised of what's going down. And we also have a neat picture section. And this is a great place to display your bike and to put your family on there, some of your awards and stuff. There's two different sections on there for the All Harley Drag Racers. And, of course, IHRA has a site on there as well.
Sure enough.
If nothing else, just send them to my email address. You can go in and you can go right to it, which is, or you can also go, I guess, we probably best thing to do is put them on to Carnac.com.
Well, you go to feedback@realracingusa.com. If you send email to feedback@realracingusa.com, we'll get them that way. And as a matter of fact, we got a lot of updates. We got some stuff in from people that have been sent in the last 3 or 4 days, and we're going to update all that stuff tomorrow, and the next day we'll be updating all that stuff. So.
Yeah, guys, sometimes you got to be a little patient. Jack is one guy, and I swear he has to have six hands to do all the stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of help, but we're not ESPN.
That's a fact.
All right, man. All right, Stevie, it's been fun this year doing this, man, and we'll be talking, of course, over the next few weeks. But we'll be back with Straight Line with Stevie in about 2 or 3 weeks here, I guess. The first week of January we come back.
It's going to be fun, by golly. I promise I'll take you drag racing like you've never been before.
All right.